For our scripture this morning, we invite your attention to Colossians chapter 2. We'd like to begin reading with verse number 6. Colossians, the second chapter, beginning with verse number 6. Colossians chapter 2. We will begin reading at verse number 6. These words are recorded. As therefore ye received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and build up in him, and establish in your faith, even as ye were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Take heed, lest there shall be anyone that maketh spoil of you through his philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in him ye are made full, who is the head of all principality and power, in whom ye were also circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, in the putting off of the body of the flesh, in the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, wherein ye were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead through your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, you, I say, did he make alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, having blotted out the bond written in ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Having despoiled the principalities and the powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphantly over them in it. We read for you hearing from Colossians, the second chapter, verses 6 through and including verse number 15. May the Lord continue to bless us through his holy word. From these verses of scripture, we would like to use for a subject a hijacked religion. A hijacked religion. Paul writes to the Colossian church because he found they were in danger of a hijacked religion. And he wants to warn them. They were at the point where they wanted something more than what they had learned. You see, Colossae was a Greek city which had been taken over by the Roman government and also had a large number of Jews who had lived there for centuries. So if they had a hunger for different ideas, there was no shortage of them. Now understand, we're not talking about people outside of the traditional church, but those in the church were seeking more spiritually. Some of the ideas seemed compatible with their faith. After all, they were just trying other ways to seek God. But Paul tells these Colossian believers, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in them. He said, keep walking the same path that they started on. He describes how they were rooted in him. He said, this is a one-time event. You know, this was experienced when they first committed their lives to him. This is what we call justification. When Christ took our sins away on the cross. But you see, God didn't plan us just to sit there. You see, there's an ongoing work that God wants to do in us. We are to be continually built up and strengthened in the faith. God wants to shape our character and make us like Christ, to draw us into an even deeper relationship with him. You see, this too is a work that comes from God. You see, the $10 word for it is sanctification. You see, the process of becoming spiritually mature, and by continuing to walk with Christ, we cooperate with the process that God is accomplishing in us. See, Paul was urging his readers to go back to the beginning, to what you have learned, to the path on which you have begun, and to stay on that path to the very end. And then in the midst of his conversation, with an almost what we would call a throwaway line, Paul adds that as we continue our walk with Christ, that we ought to be overflowing with thanksgiving. Yes. You see, there are only two active verbs in these verses, two things that we are responsible for. The first is walking. You see, that is to continue following Christ. The second is that we ought to be overflowing with thanksgiving. You know, a life that is rooted in Christ and being continually built up in him would naturally be filled and overflowing with thankfulness. It will come as no surprise to you that our culture does not encourage thankfulness. In fact, corporations spend billions of dollars every year to help you and me to be discontent. You see, they try to tell us we're too fat or too skinny. They say our hair is either too straight or too curly. Our dress is too long or too short. Skin too light or skin too dark. House too large or maybe too small. Car too old or maybe too new. And if your dog is not eating blue something or wearing some type of flea collar, he or she is missing the boat. And if you're not washing with Tide, your clothes are not as white as those washing with oil. And help me, somebody, how we start choosing our insurance today is amazing. Either from an elephant, a lizard, or a caveman. We determine which is the best toilet paper by watching a bear wipe his behind. You see, our minds are being hijacked even by the TV set. And with all that we have to be thankful for, how often are we content? How often is our focus on what we have rather than on what we don't have? You see, if you slept in a bed last night and the air conditioning was on, if you couldn't decide which suit or dress to wear this morning, if you brought one of your four or five Bibles and then drove in one of your automobiles to get here today. And if, like me, you need to cut back on what you eat, because we have the opportunity to eat not only enough, but more than we should. We have so much to be thankful for. You know, the preacher says that when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. You see, although we have learned to feel our pain, we have not always learned to feel our joy. We have forgotten if we ever learn that it's possible to choose to be thankful for what we have rather than unhappy about what we don't have. Allow me to add now that I don't mean that we should never listen to that little small voice of discontent. In fact, some of us need to heed to that voice. You see, often the first step when God is trying to move us somewhere else, either physically or spiritually, is that he allows us to be discontent with where we are. And in order to bring about change, we need to listen to that still small voice. But do seek to be thankful for what you have. You see, then Paul, he comes with this warning. Don't get hijacked. Don't be held hostage by the philosophies around you. You see, philosophy here extends to any set of ideas or beliefs or even any world view. Paul describes them as hollow and deceptive. You see, that is, they look great on the outside. You see, it's like a beautiful house set up on a hill. You climb the hill and you're fascinated with the beauty of the house. But when you get there and you open the door and find there's nothing inside, it's empty. It's beautiful, but it was just a lie. And so says Paul, in a worldview that is based on merely human traditions rather than on Christ, is empty and it's a lie. You see, the Colossian believers looked at the wisdom of their own day. It looked so rational and looked so practical. It was contemporary, of the product of the latest research and technology. But it was still a lie. And lies, especially beautiful, well-crafted ones, have a tendency of entangling both those who tell them and those who believe them. Some of you have been believers for a long time. You may have experienced disappointment with God. You may think that your faith is fine for Sundays, or that going to church fulfills a certain religious compartment in your life. But you still might be looking for answers to the deepest questions in your life. Maybe you say, preacher, the Bible's great as far as it goes, but it's a really old book. It was never meant to relate to a world of space flights and cyberspace. We know so much more now than what they knew then. You see, Christianity is great, but it's not enough to meet my needs. See, just like the Colossians, we are surrounded by philosophies competing for our attention, some for our loyalty, and maybe even some just for our money. Astrology in the newspapers, psychic friends all over TV, Jehovah Witnesses at the door, banging and ringing the doorbell. You see, there are more scientific philosophies, such as psychology, Psychology can help us to know how we got where we are. And at its best, it can help us to move on to what we can become. But if in the name of philosophy, we allow the past to define our future, we give it too much power and we're in danger of a hijacked religion. You see, people all around us are constantly pushing philosophies and worldviews, and some of them may even be compatible with our faith, but many of them just are not. Amen. Some of them are pretty enticing. Now, Paul, in this writing, has the nerve to make a single sweeping statement that all philosophies of the world are hollow and deceptive. In today's society, some would say to him, Paul, how dare you slam other people's beliefs like that? You hear that on the news every day. How intolerant. How politically incorrect. There's good people in those folks who ran over somebody trying to demonstrate and took flagpoles and beat them in the head. There's some good folks in there. How politically incorrect. But then Paul goes on to contrast between the philosophy held out by the world and the faith which we have received from God the Father through his Son, Jesus the Christ. Paul said, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form. You see, this is certainly not news for us, those of you who study the Bible. We've heard countless times that Jesus is fully God and fully man. It's an abstract truth. It seems easy to nod our heads in assent, but what follows is not so easy to follow. He said, and you have been given fullness in Christ. You, me, all of us have been given fullness in Christ. But what does that really mean? Filled with what? You said the same root word is used for the fullness of God, which is in Jesus, and the fullness which is in us. Now, the implication is that we are filled with the same thing that Jesus was filled with, the fullness of the deity. But that's outrageous, isn't it? It sounds heretical, you know, like a heretic. But listen to Ephesians 3, 18 and 19. Paul says, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God. You see, I don't know about you, but this is astounding to me. First, let's get straight what it doesn't mean. Some of you are familiar with New Age beliefs that we are all gods. Now, frankly, I don't want to offend anybody. I know a lot of folks. Some I know rather well. And if they're gods, we are all in big trouble. The only thing that would be scarier is if I was a god. You see, this verse does not mean that someday we get to be Jesus or God or even a god with a little g, but it does mean that we get to be like him by being filled with him. It does mean that there's no empty, aching hole in our beings that cannot be filled with the grace and love of God. You see, there were several possibilities for what specific problem Paul was addressing in Colossae. You see, one was a form of Jewish mysticism which had as its goal to see the vision which Ezekiel saw of a heavenly chariot with God visibly enthroned above it. The requirement to attain such a vision was meticulous observance of the law, rites of purification, a period of fasting and other disciplines, and even the help of angels. You see, Paul looked at these sincere believers. They were longing for a fuller experience of God. But they were being hijacked by a lie about how to get that experience. You hear that today. We got all the self-help books that are in the store there. There are long racks of them. You got tapes, CDs, and you got webinars about how you can do it yourself. You see, they were going through these harsh rituals and the slim hopes that perhaps they could have this mystical experience that will bring them closer to God. You see, if only for a short time, that's what they would have gotten. Their desires weren't wrong, but they were trying to fill them in a way that can only draw them further from God. You hear somebody say, I have to leave that place because I'm not being fed there. Some more experience we got to get to. Okay. Paul is saying it's good to be thirsty, but don't drink gasoline. Don't be hijacked. Don't get caught holding an empty bag. When you've been offered our faith, this is Paul talking, you've been offered our God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. He is sufficient for all our needs. And if we feel a lack, it doesn't mean that we are on the wrong road. It means that we need to keep moving, keep walking. Walk on the road which God has laid before us. For as we keep walking further up and further in, we will experience the fullness of God in our life. If you've been a disciple for any length of time, there's a good chance you've already been disappointed. Perhaps a prayer has not been answered for something desperately important to you. Perhaps someone you loved that you really didn't think you could do without has died, and you can't figure out why God would take them from you. Maybe a marriage or other significant relationship has fallen apart or just never materialized. Maybe you're desiring some spiritual experience others have had that seems to give their lives a meaning yours just doesn't have. To all these things, God says, don't be hijacked into a false religion. Don't get caught holding an empty bag while the fullness of God is offered to you. Go back to the beginning. Press on. Keep walking on the same path that you began on. It is the path of life, of grace, and of forgiveness, and the path to the very fullness of God. Go back to the hill called Calvary. Go back to where Jesus was crucified. Go back to where he was, where he suffered, where he hung and gave up the ghost and hung his head and died. Go back when he was buried, and go back when he rose again on the third day, in order that you and I would have a right to the tree of life once again. Don't get hijacked with a bed of ease in your life. Don't be hijacked out of complacency. Don't be hijacked of false philosophy. Go back to the word of God and be revived through his word constantly. God is able. Too many things that look good, but all things that look good ain't good for you. The God's word is. It is. It is maybe sweet as honey going down, but it's bitter when it gets down in you. Don't be falling for a hijack. relate you. May God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. May we stand, please.